John Richardson Show.
With John Richardson.
Podcast. Well, if you needed any more hint, it's the podcast of the John Richardson Show. Snorting and sock booties.
A little conga around the studio, weren't we? That was fun.
It's these are the highlights of today's show that went on air, I would say.
It'd be about five minutes long, wouldn't it?
There were highlights that were not on air that you can hear in the John Richardson Show, Too Crude for Podcasting, which will be out later in the week. There, it was a cheeky atmosphere today, wasn't it?
It was.
References to all sorts of stuff, references to adult pantomime, which you will hear during the show, and I think we'll fill you in on perhaps at the end of the podcast. That seems fairest, doesn't
it? Yeah, I think so. We might give you a little peek behind the panto curtain.
Don't want to leave that hanging. And that's a reference to another off-air comment today that would have got us all cancelled. So if anything you hear today makes you want to join in on next week's show, email John at absoluteradio.co.uk.
Stop.
Enjoy the show.
Helicoptering, Will!
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Welcome along to the John Richardson Show with Angela Barnes.
Hello,
on Absolute Radio. Oh, you've been under it, haven't you, this week?
I have. I've been ill again. I'm just like a sickly child, John.
Yeah, I think it's the atmosphere in this studio.
Do you think that's what it is? It's so frosty, I'm getting a chill.
I think, it's just the general bile. It's just the general bile.
I've had my gallbladder out. The bile should be not a problem anymore.
Oh, that's true. Maybe you needed your bile, though, to counteract mine. And that's
maybe
what it is now. You're just being overwhelmed.
Oh, yeah, your bile is overtaking me.
We'll find out over the next few hours, then, whether this show is natural medicine. See if you feel better when you leave. Should I ask you at the end?
How do you feel out of 10?
Like, right
now,
out of 10 now?
I'd say 6 out of 10. I'm a bit tired, bit croaky, bit wiped out.
Right. I'm going to sort you right out, mate.
Blimey. Well,
we're gonna
Valentine's Day, John.
It's not. It's International Women League of Women Voters
Day. Yes.
And it's Organ Donor Day.
Is it? That's
nice. Organ Donor Day, mate.
Oh, because it's the day where you can give people your heart.
Now, let's start with a little recap of what happened last week for any of those of you who couldn't be here for the full show last week. Not the cleanest show on the radio, but certainly the tidiest. Here's what you missed last week.
The way that they presented the cars on the wall. Literally driving up the wall. Oh. You're not going to let me forget it, are you? My on-air offence.
Just a little warning, just a reminder of how easily it can happen. I think that's what it's done. I think it's reminded the listener, do you know what, actually, we all need to be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah, let off with a warning last week, using her powers to get away with it, basically. I did confess last week to a minor crime, revealing that I take slippers from hotels and bring them back to my house. The ones that you get given in the little... I don't go around people's rooms stealing their slippers. I take the hotel slippers that are provided, I bring them back to my house, and I offer them to guests, because I'm weird.
I can't believe you do that, John.
Yeah, here's a little soap and a little towel and some slippers, courtesy of my last tour. Anyway, Bethany had some thoughts on that.
Hi, John. I know you were called weird last week for offering stolen hotel slippers to your house guests, but I had to write in to defend you. I fully support your purloining of hotel slippers for the express purpose of having them on offer for house guests who remove their shoes and boots upon arrival at your home. Here in Connecticut, my friend Catherine always has slippers, sock booties, and other warm and cozy indoor footwear on offer for her arriving guests. Okay, so she didn't sneak them into her suitcase while staying at a nice hotel, but I would argue that your petty theft is well-intended and therefore not only excusable, but perfectly acceptable. In fact, I dare say it's a proud New England tradition. Cheers from across the pond, Bethany.
We've got listeners in America.
We've got listeners in America. Let's go on a world tour of New England.
I've never been to Connecticut. Let's go.
Right.
We've got somewhere nice to stay where they give you slippers.
We'll have warm feet. I tell you, the only thing I think could make it weirder when people turn up at my house and I say, would you like some slippers, is if I said, here are your sock booties. Sounds fine in New English, doesn't it?
It's
sack booties.
Sack booties.
But... no one wants me saying that. Here's your little sack booties.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I also suggested for Valentine's Day, might be worth buying your partner a litre of petrol from the petrol station instead of the flowers, in what I thought was a hilarious riff that another comedian might take into the live arena and turn into a five-minute bit. But I just offer it up. That's just me. That's just a one little gag, and I'll move on with my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. Kat wasn't impressed.
Hi, John. Am I right in thinking that last week I heard you suggest people buy their partners a litre of petrol instead of flowers from the petrol station on Valentine's Day?
Yes.
I just want to tell anyone who's listening who's thinking about doing that, please do not. It's almost as bad as the Valentine's when my dad bought my mum a mop. Thank you.
Oh. See, it's a tricky one because I'm not a huge fan of getting flowers. Because I'm quite allergic to a lot of flowers, so they make me sneeze. And also, I think flowers are just the gift of future admin. Like, I've got to arrange them, and then I've got to watch them die in front of me, and then I've got to dispose of them. You know? That it just doesn't feel romantic. And I knew my husband was the one when he came home with a bunch of pens for me one night.
Like in a vase?
Of like four colour... he arranged them in a bouquet, like four colour Bic Biros. And I was like, yes, you get me.
Yeah, that's a lovely touch. Just want to know, Angela, how are you?
I'm a bit full of cold, but I'm all right. I'm feeling better than I was. I'm not very good at being ill. Like, I'm a bit grumpy.
You've had
a
lot of practice.
I have. I know. I'm just a sickly baby. But I... this week, because we had our kitchen...
If I said that, I'd get a right telling off. I was still reeling from the look you gave me when I said I might be Britain's tiredest Teddy.
Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about that.
Yeah.
So while I was ill, I decided to paint or restore a 1950s kitchen larder.
Of course you did.
So I'm quite pleased with myself that I've done that, but I don't think it helped. The paint fumes particularly helped my situation.
No, do they not work like Vicks?
Apparently not, no. No, I felt
quite
dizzy.
You're not gone for a low VOC paint?
I don't know what it is, just some furniture paint I bought.
Oh, mate, you've got to go low VOC, mate,
these
days.
What's
VOC? Oh, it's what all the trendy people are doing. Volatile organic compounds, mate. They want to leak. It's the fume smell that leaks off paint.
Wow.
You go lower VOC, it's not going to leak out, mate. It's better for your home environment.
Oh, I think it was low VOC because it didn't smell that much, but it did make me feel a bit dizzy. But I wasn't sure if it was the cold or the paint.
Your block nose. You're probably painting turpentine spray on the walls, mate. Can't smell a thing. I've had a look at your kitchen on the old interweb.
You do
put
you
a
like
picture
it?
In your kitchen. Oh, it's lovely.
Oh, thanks, mate.
That's a lovely environment for Matt to cook all your meals.
It's so true. I can't even deny it. Like, what was it? There was something... he was cooking something yesterday that he cooks quite often. Mm. And he cooks potatoes in the air fryer, but he, like, shakes them in oil first.
Mm.
And he was doing that in the kitchen. I said, what are you doing? He's like, I do this every other day and you've never seen me do it before. And I just use literally, but I think I used it okay.
Well, if you're quoting Matt as well, then he might as well be in prison with you. Best, you know, you want some company in there, won't you?
Yeah, and food.
You literal offenders. Have you done anything in the kitchen? Have you cooked anything yet?
I don't think I've even made a cup of tea. That's really bad.
You've really been milking this cold, haven't you?
I really have.
Matt, please could I have
I don't feel well.
Put a little bit of honey in it for me, please.
Have you been watching me?
I can sense it. Absolutely nauseating. Well, some of us have been out grafting, so apologies to anyone who saw me on the one show this week. That's what I've been up to. A despicable part of our job, isn't it? I loathe self-promotion.
There's no other job.
Where, like, a plumber doesn't mend a sink and then spend a week taking people round the sink he's just mended or she's just mended, saying, look what I did. This was a particularly hard part of the job, the U-bend. Like, it just, I hate it. There's no dignity in it.
I did a thing where you watch it and then you tell me it was good.
Who were you on the one show with?
Oh, I tell you, I was on with... let's be simple. There was three of us on that couch. All anyone's looking at is Ben Shepherd's guns.
Yeah.
My goodness. How is he getting them?
Incredible. I've only met Ben Shepherd once when I did Tipping Point and he smells delicious. He does.
Right.
I'm sorry, but he does.
I'm just going to have to check with the absolute lawyers that we're not creeping into uncomfortable territory.
Is that not okay? Ben Shepherd, can I not say that? I'm sorry.
Well, I think you can say he smells all right, but yeah. It's just...
is it the word delicious that's the problem there?
Well, I don't know if you've seen what you're doodling on that pad, but your subconscious does come through. So we're going to get that incinerated. It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes. It's that time of the week where we undermine any joy and love in your life. Do it every week, but it's got an extra poignancy, I think, with today being Valentine's Day. So we have been asking, what is the least romantic thing you're doing this Valentine's Day?
We've got some great responses because I think most people are doing unromantic things on Valentine's Day, aren't they? We've got Lisa says, I'm taking my car back to the garage for an MOT. They had it all day last Saturday, told me it had passed and was ready to collect. I then found out in the week they mixed it up with a similar number plate and it needs to go back. Not impressed.
Oh, fuming.
Can you imagine that? You think you've had your MOT passed. And what are the chances of having a similar number plate in the same garage?
Yeah, well, that's it. I'd be asking how similar was it. I'd want to know.
Yeah.
Because then that begs into question. If you can't differentiate between number plates, I don't even trust the car's passed or failed its MOTs.
That's true. How can you tell if a tyre's bald if you can't read a number plate?
Yeah. Right? Your engine's fine. I say engine. What do indicator. similar, innit? I also let you read that one because I said, do you want to read Sandra's? And you said, no, because that phrase means it's come from a northerner. And we'll see which phrase people think. Sandra, this Valentine's Day, is finishing off making the veg beds.
Lovely.
Cleaning out the pigeon loft. Ding, 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 ding. Washing up loads of stuff. Dishwashers poorly. Not getting a new one fitted until Wednesday. Taking the dog for a long walk. Cooking the evening meal. And then cocktail or beers.
Cocktail and beers.
Exactly. What's the or doing in there? It's Valentine's Day. Treat yourself. You've put the veg to bed. Have a cocktail and then a beer.
This all sounds like a good day for me. Taking the dog out for a walk and ending with cocktail and beers. That's like the best day ever.
Cracking day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, let's put to an end a long-running saga that's been going on the show. It's I Love You, But... This one started a couple of weeks ago. Sophie from Poole sent in a dedication for her husband. Steve said that he was happy for Sophie to have her own opinion after she'd criticised his Lego. That upset her. She got in touch with the show. We invited Steve to respond. It's taken a little while. We heard from Sophie again last week asking us to reconsider inviting Steve. She did. She got back. Steve... clearly not a fan of the show. He's had 2 weeks to get in touch. And at their very death, Steve said, right, just
he's
to put an end to this.
He's been very busy with his Lego, John.
He has been, which has been metaphorically climbing the walls of his house. right, let's put this to bed. It's for this week's I Love You, But, and it goes to Steve.
Hi, John. This is Steve from Poole. I love listening to the show, but could you please just agree with Soph that I am not the arbiter of whether she should be allowed her own opinion or not. I've not heard anything else about this for the last 3 weeks. And frankly, nor have you. I'm getting tired of it. I'm sure you'll understand. Thanks for your help, and here's to a quiet life.
We now know everything we need to know about Steve and Sophie's relationship, don't we? We know exactly what... No wonder he does so much Lego, poor Steve. You just sit, I can see him, can't you? Just sitting there quietly doing his Lego while she's in the corner. And another thing, Steve! You can just feel it, can't you?
Oh, I think you might have failed in Steve's request to side with Sophie there. I think you might have come down quite hard on Team Steve there. Oh, I think you've potentially ended their relationship. I think Steve might be in the studio next week as our new permanent member of the team. He sounds a lot more gangsterish than a Lego fan that I was expecting.
He does, doesn't he? He
Can sounds you just like... please? I'm not the arbiter of whether you have an opinion or not. Well, I think we failed, Steve, I'm afraid, to side with Sophie, but we can say it now. Do you know what? On Valentine's Day, what could be more appropriate than an insincerely expressed emotion? So we at the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio are pleased to side with Sophie and agree with you, Steve, that it's not up to you whether she has an opinion or not. And she's, well, this feels like it's getting a little bit 1970s now, doesn't it? But we've done it, so here we go. I invite Sophie, and indeed all listeners, to have opinions whenever they like. This is for her from Steve.
Sorry.
Bless you.
Little sneeze.
Just a sneeze, that one.
Just a little.
News coming later of what sometimes happens to Angela when that happens. That's, of course, Angela Barnes. I am John Richardson. We're here with producer Will. It's the John Richardson Show on Absolute Radio. It's Yay. The time of the week when we discuss news that wasn't in the news, that could, would, or perhaps should have been in the news to make the world seem a slightly brighter place than it can. And Annette Bean, I can't remember. Annette Bean. Relentlessly, I don't know, the news has been like it's rained every day, but I don't think I've seen the sky in 2026. No, not just wet, but like a blanket of cloud constantly.
So grey. The sun did peek through yesterday afternoon when I was painting my kitchen cabinet. I saw a little glimpse of sun.
Was there?
Thought, there it is. It is still in the sky, but then it went away.
You missed
again.
The 10 seconds of sun in a larder.
Yes, I did.
I think you were just hallucinating off the high VOC paint.
Actually, that could be what happened, though, because there was like sand between my toes as well and the gentle lapping.
Yes.
I think I see what happened.
I think you've had an incident there. have you seen anything in the news that is worth recounting?
I have, John, because you know we're on a mission to get a world record on this show.
We are. Right? We're aiming by the end of 2026 to be a world record-breaking radio show.
Well, I'd like to see the risk assessment that Will would have to write if we tried to do this one, that a 12-year-old has just set a record in Dallas-Fort Worth, and he is the youngest person ever to build a nuclear fusion machine.
You've got to look at the parents there.
Right. Well, there's a lovely line in this because he said he'd been working on it for 4 years, which means he was 8 when he started working on it. So there's got to be a point where it's like, hey, Mum, do you mind if I build a nuclear... Like, I don't know about you, John. Yeah. In my house, my mum didn't like it when I did finger painting because it got messy. Yeah. I was never going to start Armageddon.
Don't waste any of the good potatoes.
You know, yeah. Like, how can you say to your mum, I'm going to build a nuclear fusion? There's a quote from the mum here. It says, there were some alarm bells with my mum. Yes, she was like, whoa, take a step back. Tell me exactly. No, I'm not doing the voice.
Do the voice.
I can't do the voice.
Dallas, Texas, do the voice.
How does the Dallas, I can't think how it, like.
Think of Dallas, think of J.R. Ewing.
Hey, boy.
Yes, go. Just do it now. You're in there. Just
take
go.
Take a step back. Tell me exactly what could go wrong and how it could go wrong and make sure it doesn't go wrong.
Lovely.
How would you trust your
age?
You've got... How old's your daughter, John?
She's 9. She's well past the age where she should be starting nuclear fusion.
Would you
now.
Let her start to... If she came home and said, Dad, I want to build a nuclear fusion machine in the dining room, you all right with that?
In fairness to the parent, I think it's one of those things that's so outlandish that you would just assume, well, that ain't happening, is it? So you'd just say, well, yeah, of course you can. Yeah, of course, if you want to try.
And then that day she comes in, Dad, I've split the atom! Yeah,
glowing green. It's working! Oh, no. Oh, that's backfired. I do think, you know, it's a good... I mean, I'm pleased he's broken a world record and all that, but there's a lot to be said for screen time, isn't there? It gets a lot of kick in, and, you know, we need to protect the youth and all that, but there's nothing wrong with a bit of Mario Kart every now and again, is there?
Yeah. I mean, he's doing that at 12. What's he doing by 24? Do you know what I mean?
That is exciting, isn't it? Think what he's going to be capable of by 16, this lad.
Yeah. Exciting or scary. It depends on, you know, is he a malevolent or benevolent person?
Oh, okay. You've taken it that way, have you?
Well, you don't know, feature do you? At 12? Who knows?
You've taken this feature, which is supposed to be about bringing some good news from the week's news, to the potential thought of a 13-year-old nuclear dictator.
Yeah.
That's what you've done
there.
That's
what I've done. That's mission accomplished.
I just wonder, in a Texan accent, what would it sound like to say, I've got my finger on the nuclear button?
I got my finger on the nuclear button. That was a bit Forrest Gump, that, wasn't it?
I think it would have been nuclear, but I'll absolutely take the impression. We're discussing news that wasn't in the news that could, would, or should. In theory, we could do a Guinness World Record every week. They're always in the news, and that's why this show wants to get on board. I would like this show, after Angela's, can I say, valiant attempt or noble failure? How would you describe the Ferrero Rocher incident of 2025?
An embarrassing failure.
You simply failed.
Thanks. Thanks for that, Will. That was the official...
That's Joanne Brent from Guinness World Records, who has pledged to help support us in our goal.
Yeah.
I think because real music matters so much at Absolute, what I would like is for this show to I'd love to know that. I mean, Guinness has endorsed that we music matters more to us than any other show.
Yeah.
Of course, Dave Berry can do his album clash. Of course, you can get great musicians in, you know, on Drive and have a good old chat with
them. Rick Astley's in the studio this week, apparently, and I
Rick Astley's been in the studio. He's not coming on the John Richardson show because he thinks real music doesn't matter here. And I think if they could just say, well, which show do you want to go on? Do you want to go on The Breakfast Show? Of course, I got more listeners. But do you want to go on the show that has proven by having world record that, you know, music is the most important to them? So I think if we can break a Guinness World Record, the next time Rick Astley comes in, they
come
say,
on our show.
Do you want to go on the Guinness World Record breaking show? He'll say, yes.
He'll say he
talks,
what?
However he talks. So I'd like some suggestions, john@absoluteradio.co.uk, for music-based world records that you think the team here could have a go at. And over this year, we will try and break one. There was a story about a guy who balanced a chair on his chin for an hour and 20 minutes, but... the reason we picked it is because he says it's quite literally a pain in the neck. And I think the correct use of the word literally should be supported.
Yeah,
if we're
going
to criticise people using it incorrectly, he literally has a pain in his neck. But you don't need to have sympathy for him because, of course, he could have done something better with his time. The story I've gone for, just because I'd like to ask a question of you, Angela, I'd like to ask you a question, if that's all right.
Sure.
Local bar owner... Of course, I am a pub shareholder myself now, so this is particularly relevant to me as a pub restaurateur myself. local bar owner forced to eat Wendy's chili for a month. Now, you say forced.
What, like in a kidnap situation? What's happened here? This doesn't sound like happy news, John.
Larry Shea, owner of a local bar in Binghamton, he didn't think that Scotty Scheffler would win the Amex tournament. He said, if he wins that tournament, and that's a sentence, you know, when you get halfway down, you think, oh, I haven't decided what the thing's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
He said, if he wins that tournament, I'll eat chili for a month. So he's been forced by himself, really, because Scotty Scheffler did win that tournament. And he's gone on to have Wendy's chili for breakfast, lunch and dinner for a month.
His insides must be rotten.
Well, that's it. He's saying now, actually... It's a surprisingly healthy meal, so I'm quite glad I picked it. But there are other consequences of eating chili for a month, aren't there?
It's not him I feel for. It's his... Does he cohabit with anybody? Is he married?
It's not the actions of a man with a partner.
It's not, is it? No.
It begs the question, what food would you... If you were halfway down that sentence and you said, if John Richardson breaks a Guinness World Record this year for music, I will eat so-and-so for a month.
So I'm going to pick something I like. I will eat cheese on toast for a month.
Oh, that's a wonderful shout. That's a wonderful shout.
Cheese on toast. And also you can vary it a bit. You know, sometimes I'll pop a little bit of Worcester sauce on it. Sometimes
I thought you were going to say a fruit or a vegetable. Sometimes you might have some tomatoes on there, but no.
Hello.
One of the saltiest condiments available to man.
Of course.
Will, what would you eat for a month?
Chicken sandwich, something like that.
Yeah. Chicken sandwich.
Chicken and bacon sandwich, something like that with mayo.
Yeah. There we go. You keep making it less healthy. Chicken and bacon sandwich.
Fried chicken sandwich.
You know, honestly, the first thing that came into my head was nuggets, but I thought I couldn't say that. So.
Will is a 12-year-old boy.
Can't even build a nuclear reactor in your bedroom, can you? Call yourself a 12-year-old boy. Right, coming up, we're going to talk about least romantic Valentine's days and a particularly unromantic story from Angela Barnes that slightly relates to the subject of eating chili for a month and the effect that might have on your body. Stay tuned for that.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
How'd you spend your Saturday mornings?
With John Richardson.
This is the John Richardson Show.
It's John Richardson and Angela Barnes here wishing you a very happy Valentine's Day if you're into
you
that kind of thing.
You don't mean that.
No, I don't mean it, but, you know, you've got to say it, haven't you? Insincere emotion is what this day is all about. So, happy Valentine's Day, sweethearts.
I once got a card from my ex that just said, happy VD.
I mean, you volunteered this story off air, and we speculated that it might be funny on air.
You're basically forcing me to tell this story on air, is what's happening.
Well, it made me laugh, and I think, what are we here for if not to share laughter with our friends?
A moment on the train on the way to the studio today, John. So I had my headphones on, and I was reading a book, and so I listened to white noise in my headphones when I'm reading, so I'm not distracted by the noise of everyone else on the train.
Yeah, fascinating that.
I was listening to my white noise, reading my book, minding my own business, and I've had a bit of a cold this week. And I sneezed, but as I sneezed, I also farted. But I've no idea how loud it was because I couldn't hear, but it felt like it might have been quite loud. You know, the ones that take you by surprise are often quite loud, aren't they?
Yes.
And
the next station's a busy one, so everyone always gets off of that one anyway. And Clapham Junction's a particularly busy stop.
It's funny, isn't it? Because have you noticed, right? I'm trying to say this delicately because I know people will be, but you can tell by how it feels whether it's going to smell or not.
Right. That's not a story I would encourage you to tell on air. Anyway, let's have a little chat. Amy says, on the subject of unromantic Valentine's Day, my husband has just had quite a sensitive operation. Ooh. So there'll be nothing romantic for either of us for 72 hours. So my February the 14th will consist of doing the big shop and tending to the brave little soldier. What a lovely passive-aggressive end that is.
This is from Kirsty, and I feel this one, Kirsty, because I come from a similar employment background. I'm a support worker, so I will be wiping backsides, showering, cleaning toilets and mopping floors, doing laundry, and I couldn't be happier.
I'm really glad you said I sympathise with this, Kirsty, because I come from a similar background, because I thought you were going to say I sympathise with this, because that's how I feel at work. I have to wipe backsides, shower, clean toilets. To be clear, I look after myself. Ali says, I will be doing the same old, not much. Me and the other half think that Valentine's is a ridiculous day. Everyone should be kind to each other every day. Well, I don't agree with that.
Well, yeah.
You don't need one specific day. Yeah. Every other day, at best. If you need one specific day to show you care by buying overpriced flowers and going to crowded restaurants, emoji thumbs down.
Oh, well, that told us.
Powerful sentiment. And Helen says?
She says, I'm off to Broadstairs with my mate for a pancake race. Oh, it's pancake day on Tuesday.
The genuine excitement.
Oh.
It's pancake day on Tuesday. I must text Matt to remind him what time to serve my pancakes.
Literal... I mean, you're laughing, but that is what's going to happen.
Oh, that's absolutely
what
it's going
to be. I'm going to remind him to get pancake ingredients.
Yeah. You better not spill it on the new kitchen floor, mate.
That's the sound of the
literal
police. That's the sound of the
literal
police.
This has gone on, hasn't it?
Isn't it?
You know, you start summer and you think, you know.
I thought the problem would have been solved by now. I thought with our zero tolerance policy, we would have wiped out literal offences, but apparently not.
I can only assume what's happening now is this has become such a big feature that people know, like, we've basically become the Graham Norton show. So they're just like, I tell you what, do one interview, but if you say literally wrong, then you'll get on the John Richardson show as well. And that's like double PR. I can only assume.
Yeah,
I
mean, must be it.
It's the literal police, where if you commit a literal crime, we'll figuratively come for you. A busy week last week, as we had a literal crime committed. Was it for the first time? I don't think so. But on the show,
the first
by
time
Angela Bones.
On the show.
Certainly your first live offence. We discussed the origins of the literal police, and we locked up Guy Mowbray and Davina McCall. Now, it turns out, with Davina, we may have a serial offender on our hands.
This hurts my heart.
So we've had a first ever sort of report. Someone's gone into the data and looked back. And here's a report from Officer Eleanor on one of our offenders.
Hi, John and everyone. I have a follow-up to report on an open case from last week relating to Davina McCall. I, too, am a fan of Davina's, but I'm afraid to say that she does have form when it comes to literal offences. In her amazing book, Menopausing, she uses the word literally a lot and incorrectly. On one page, I noticed four offences over just two paragraphs. It would take me a while to find the page, I'm sorry, so no evidence at this moment in time. I guess that might blow my charge out of the water. But surely, it being in writing and therefore proofread and edited, makes a stronger case. Love the show. Eleanor Farnsworth in Sheffield.
Well, I do have a copy of that book at home, so maybe, but for next week, I can go and check.
Yeah, it would be nice. I'll be honest, it's enough for me to convict anyway, because I'm that kind of guy.
Well, you are, yeah. You'll convict on hearsay, won't you?
I'm a trustworthy guy. You tell me you've got evidence, I believe you.
Yeah.
I never questioned whether you trumped on a train, did I? I took you at face value. And I believe I should do the same for Eleanor and just
really
assume that she's right.
I regret telling you off air about my indiscretion this morning. I really regret it.
4 in 2 paragraphs. And she's exactly right, Eleanor. These books are edited. She's not just sent that in and they've published it. Mm. Listen, she's already in prison. I think if you've got the book, Angela, if you wouldn't mind bringing it in maybe I won't be in charge next week. We don't know. There was an offence committed this week on a show I was on. As I mentioned, I was on the One Show this week. We were discussing...
All right, stop going on about it.
Monday at 7 if you want to catch up. we were discussing figure skating and Olympian Anna Vipan Law.
You know I've got grade 9 in figure skating, don't you, John?
I did not know that about you. And having just said that, I'll take everything you say at face value. I feel like now I'm going to look foolish if I don't believe you. But
it's true.
What grades does it go up to? Because music only goes up to 9, doesn't it?
It goes up to 9. I've got grade 9 in figure and 3. You can then go and do other stages after the grades, but I've got all my grades.
I mean, mind blown. Have we never discussed that you're a grade 9 figure skater?
I mean, I couldn't do the things I used to be able to do now, I'm sure. But
none of us can, Angela.
Well, quite. I'd love to just get on an ice rink with nobody looking.
Can I look? I'll book one out. Am I allowed to look?
Yeah, all right. That's a deal. Me and you. No one else allowed. Just me and you go ice skating together.
I'd love to watch you ice skate. Right, okay.
Let's do it.
Well, there you go. That's happening.
That's a date.
This happened on the show. It's Anna Vipan Law talking about her dream to be in the Olympics, one of the VTs that went out on the One Show. Let's have a listen.
Olympic Games has been the only thing on my mind for my skating career since I literally was about 6 or 7 years old.
That's okay, isn't it?
Now, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Literally, I mean... The vagueness doesn't help her. She's saying
literally 6 or 7. Oh, 6, 7.
6, 7. There we go.
There's
apologies to all parents. Yeah. For a start, I don't think that's an offence.
I don't think she
was literally 6 or 7 when. Oh, look at the fury on Will's face. Go on, then. Go on, make your point.
Well, Will, she says the only thing on her mind since she was 6 or 7.
Oh, no, okay. No, she doesn't say that, though. She says, the only thing on my mind since I was literally 6 or 7. Not literally the only thing on my mind since I was 6 or 7.
I think it's inferred, though.
No, because she doesn't say it. No, but she doesn't.
No, but she's saying it is since she was literally 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Let me get my gavel out.
No, I'm sorry, Will.
Hold down. She also will, and I appreciate your point, and I appreciate the depths to which you're going to try and convict this young lady, this young Olympic hopeful. She doesn't even say it's been the only thing on my mind. She says it's been the only thing on my mind in my figure skating career.
Really?
So she's saying when I'm skating, it's all I've thought about is the Olympics.
Yeah, well, she tripped on the night, so unlucky.
He was such a sweet boy when we took this show over. I feel responsible for this.
Will, we've broken him.
I will say as well, the reason I didn't pick up on it on the show is because, of course, the show is live. And when they cut to VTs, the presenters tell a series of particularly bawdy anecdotes. That's why when you cut back to the studio, some of us are wiping tears from our eyes. Like, my God, that's absolutely brutal. So I didn't pick up on it at the time, and I wouldn't have because I don't think it's an offence. But if you spot one that you'd like us to pick up on, next week we'll be having a deep dive into the literary world of Davina McCall's back catalogue. But anything you spot, John at absoluteradio.co.uk. Delighted to say we still have Angela Barnes with us.
And we're still on the air.
It's
been touch and go this morning, John.
Absolutely. Which one are you? Now, Will is still with us as well.
Is that our double act?
Touch and go. Absolutely. And go just doesn't speak all through the act. And then at the end goes, it's time. And then we both leave. Well, on that topic of what I bring to the world, it's time again for our Goblin offsetting. And I'm saying that so that everyone knows I'm not saying anything else. Goblin offsetting.
As in little spiteful creature.
Spiteful little goblin man, as christened by... our producer, Charlie,
Who's not here again this week? Have you sacked her quietly, John?
Not quietly, no.
Okay, fine. That was actually quite a big fuss, wasn't there? Yes, I remember now.
Do you not see me in the foyer? She's not here this week, but of course, well, this would be a good test of whether she listens when she's not here.
Won't it?
We'll find out. We'll find out on the old WhatsApp group, won't we, this afternoon? Anyway, she's not here today, but she did christen me a spiteful little goblin. I sometimes worry I bring a poisonous atmosphere to the world. I'm a very tutty, angry little driver. I'm not very polite in supermarkets. And I also just bring an unintentional tension. I feel like when I go on the school run, for example, and you go for pickup, you get there a few minutes early, you sort of go have a little bit of chit-chat. I feel like people see me coming and they go, oh no, there's a gap next to me. I'm going to have to talk to him.
They all huddle tighter together as you approach.
Yeah, I shouldn't have looked up as he came through the gate. Now I'm going to have to talk to him. That's what I talked to someone this week. This is an example of the unintentional bad energy I bring. Mm. There are certain things that I've got a level of recognition where I'm not Tom Cruise. There's no, like, I don't walk into a room and people go, oh my God, you'll look at me either like I've got something on my face or you can't work out whether you've seen me on telly or if I work in the co-op. Yeah. And that level of, so there are certain senses I hear a lot, like, where do I know you from? Something like that.
And you have been working in that co-op a while now.
I have been, yeah. I just drift around. Yeah. I like the atmosphere in there. I like the music. Real music doesn't matter to them as much as it matters to us, but clearly someone there cares a bit. Anyway, just when this ends, when Angela finally gets me fired, I am available for co-op radio is all I'm saying.
I can hear you doing the little in-store announcements. 2 for 1 on crab sticks. Yeah.
Crab sticks.
I don't know why I went to crab sticks.
Wowee. 20 years since that Arctic Monkeys album, can you believe it? 2 for 1 on crab sticks. Oh, there we go. Not the voice of co-op radio, but the voice of Morecambe Promenade from the 1970s. A lady said to me this week, and I hear this one quite a lot, and I always try and do a sort of, what I don't want, she said, now, are you who I think you are? So I meant to say in a playful manner, well, hey, that depends on who you think I am. Oh, 2 for 1 on crab sticks. But it came out as quite an aggressive, well, that depends on who you think I am.
And that,
it was a horrible moment. Oh. She was a lovely lady, and I really shot her down in a way that made it quite unpleasant to deal with each other for the next few minutes.
Did she go, all right, mate?
No
need for that.
No, look, she just sort of ploughed on, but I'd made it. So that this is why this feature exists. That's the energy I put into the world 7 days a week, and I need you. Firstly, you, Angela. Just tell me something good that's happened in the world this week so I'm not so uncomfortable.
Okay, how about, this is a nice story, John. This is the Michael Woods, his name is. He's the father of a child actor in Coronation Street. The child plays Alid Winter Brown, and his dad is climbing Mount Everest, John.
Whoa.
Mount Everest, in order to raise money for the National Deaf Children's Society. Now, Michael Woods is deaf himself, but I think he's too old to benefit directly from the National Deaf Children's Society. There's nothing untoward going on here.
Right.
This is purely a what's the word?
But lovely of you to imply it anyway. Lovely for you to just clear that up. He's climbing Everest for charity. Nothing dodgy here at all.
Maybe I'm the spiteful little goblin on this show. This is something we haven't worked out until this moment. I think actually it might be me who's bringing the energy. Are you a spiteful goblin when other co-presenters are in?
No,
lovely. It's me, isn't it?
So he's, okay, well, that's a nice man doing a nice thing for a nice charity. He's going to need help, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to go up there with him. Can't go up alone, can you?
Well, no, so anyway, that's where the Sherpas come in, isn't it?
What I need is our listenership to provide something that I feel like I can take credit for. I'm not taking credit for Michael Woods climbing Everest, although I do support him in his endeavour. However, a listener I do know who is a stalwart listener of the show is a man called Graham. He's done something good, and here he is to tell us all about it.
Hi, John. I know you're always looking for good deeds to offset how much of a spiteful little goblin man you really are.
I enjoyed
one
that
this week where I did a good deed and someone tried to do a good deed for me with some awkward consequences. Let me explain. Basically, I'm a plumber, and at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning last week, I got a call from a man saying his shower wouldn't stop running and water was going everywhere. I got out of bed, drove to his house and had a look. As he said, the shower wouldn't turn off, and he'd only just moved in, and he didn't know where the stopcock was. so I said I needed to get into the shower to make it stop. He immediately told me not to worry, that he would do it so I didn't get my clothes soaking wet. He popped off to get changed into what I thought would be some swimming trunks or shorts or something, but came back wearing absolutely nothing. It was such an awkward encounter, but one that came from two people trying to do a good deed. Cheers, all the best, Graham.
My concern is that this customer has previous on this.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I've just moved in, I don't know where the stop cock is, I'll take my kit off.
Like, yeah, Graham's obviously very sweetly interpreted that as, that's both of us trying to do a good deed.
Isn't it? Yeah. Or does this guy do this, has he worked through every plumber in the phone book doing this? Is that just how he spends his Saturday mornings?
6 a.m. on a Sunday, though, fair play.
Oh, yeah, well
fair
done.
Fair play for
yeah,
going
but imagine
that call.
The call-out charge for that, John.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah,
I think
that's
a lovely, Graham, right?
A lovely good deed of a plumber charging time and a half getting flashed by a customer. Yes. What a wonderful thing.
Good deed all round there.
It's
well
just,
done,
there's
Graham.
Absolutely no grey area about that at all. Yeah. That's just two good people putting good vibes into the world. This stopcock's not in the shower, is it?
No.
Surely that's going
to
be under the sink.
No, he didn't know where the stopcock was, so he had to go, so he couldn't turn the water. I guess that's the point.
Yeah. Graham's loving this.
Yeah.
This is like, we're basically doing a corporate gig now for Graham. Plumbers all around the country saying thank you very much. Well, I guess it's a good deed, isn't it? I guess it's a good deed.
I think Graham's... Well, is it a good deed if you're getting paid for it?
Does it offset me being unintentionally rude to a very kind pensioner?
No.
No, I don't think so. So thank you, Graham. It's a very funny story, Valiant I'll say effort. That. But if you have a good deed that you've done that makes me feel better about not being such a good person during the week, then email john@absoluteradio.co.uk and we'll maybe get to yours next week. Right, it's John Richardson here with Angela Barnes and producer Will wishing you a very happy Valentine's Day.
Bleh.
Is it one of those things that you do all, it's all day, isn't it, Valentine? You know, like New Year, you're not supposed to say after 12 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, no, I think you can say it all day, Valentine's Day. But, I mean, we don't really do it. We do exchange cards, but that's about it, really.
Do you know the people I'm really shouting out to here? All those people have had a conversation this week where one of you's had the bravery to go, why don't we just go out on Sunday? It'll be much quieter. We won't have to put up with other couples everywhere. We'll get a booking in the restaurant we like and it won't be twice as much for half as much food.
Yeah.
They're the people I'm looking for.
Some friends come for dinner on tonight, so you know.
Although, are you?
My husband did something I think very mean, because usually we don't bother with Valentine's Day, we exchange cards, that's it.
Yeah.
And then he let slip on Thursday, John,
on the train.
Never maybe gonna just live sneezed. It down. Never gonna live it down. He let slip that he got me a present with like two days to go, so he's not all perfect, so now I've had to get him a present.
Yeah, I mean, if that's your story of your husband not being perfect, is him buying you a Valentine's gift again, you're struggling, really. I'll tell you what a piece of work my husband is. He bought me a Valentine's gift. Can you believe it? This scumbag.
What
is he up to? Rebecca says, we are listening in Brisbane and emptying the pool as we have had huge rain. Do you have to empty rain out of a pool?
Oh, surely that just makes the pool bigger, no?
That's a natural receptacle for rain, isn't it? We're also hoping that cricket for our son is cancelled. That's the sort of Valentine's message I'm looking for.
My son's day is ruined.
Yeah, he really looks forward to it. So fingers crossed that'll be off. Settling in with steak and wine and the frivolity of the show. Any more on romantic Valentine's days?
Yes, we've heard one from Vanessa, who says she's very proud to tell the world, which I think is overblowing our listenership somewhat, but to tell the world I'll be finding myself a, in brackets, finally, nice pair of pyjamas.
Okay.
And then she says, love from France. Now, a couple of things there. One is, how do you know you're going to find a nice pair of pyjamas if you haven't found them yet? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, surely in France, all pyjamas are nice pyjamas in France.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
I imagine all French pyjamas are like silky.
What is French for pyjamas?
Les pyjamas.
I mean, it is, yeah, le pyjama. Good luck shopping. Le pyjama. I think it is le pyjama.
Yeah, I think it might be.
It's all in there, isn't it? The GCSE French.
A-level, mate. Did A-level French.
Did you? Oh, well, there you go. Same year as the Eagles album came out, wasn't it? Katie said, that's a callback to the killer stuff. It's ended up unintentionally harsh, that. But appraisals for the show coming up next. I feel like Angela might have one for herself this week. I'm going to read Katie's because I don't want to read Victoria's because I want to come back next week. Katie says, I once received a mop and bucket for Valentine's, but it was Vileda ones, though. I still have mixed emotions about it.
So she said it's all right to get a mop and bucket for Valentine's Day as long as it's a well-known brand.
Yeah, I don't think you need to have mixed emotions about that. Yeah.
Yes, you can have one dark emotion about that.
Yeah.
Are you going to leave me, Victoria?
Well, I just think perhaps you and I should have a little conversation about Will's editing. You know, there's been a lot of joking over recent weeks where I've said, oh, email in, because Will does go through them all eventually. He gets to them eventually. I'm just going to imply that this is one that you maybe put on the document at 11 p.m. last night.
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to read it as Will put it on the document because we'll all get cancelled.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a version of it that I've edited, so it's suitable for the listeners, which I believe is technically your job, Will, but that's fine. Yeah. I've got you covered.
Saturday morning, isn't it?
Yeah. Says, for a start, it says we're going to watch the Ruby. Pretty sure it means rugby. We're going to watch the rugby, then see an adult panto. Now, what happened next, John, is Victoria put in her message the name of the adult panto, which I am not going to say on air, but Will had not picked up on the euphemism in the title of the adult panto. So I'm just going to let our listeners' imaginations take care of that.
Talk about the age gap,
don't we? Adult panto with some friends, having been at work in the morning. Now, I think that's quite a good Valentine's thing to do.
That is a cracking Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And we've all managed to stay in employment.
Will, possibly.
Well, I don't want to just criticise Will for trying to get us cancelled for reading the name of an adult pantomime on air on a Saturday morning. But what I will say is when all these came in, he said, I've put that one at the bottom because I think this is the most depressing Valentine's Day you could have. This is Brooke who says, I'm going to see Matt Ford for Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
And that there is the opinion of the producer of Matt Ford's Rock and Roll Football. Producer Will there says,
are you
that
producing
is the most...
that this afternoon, Will?
I am, yeah.
Good luck,
mate. Depressing Valentine's Day you can have. And just in case he's not listening, I am going to text him that as well. And I'm going to text him the name of the adult pantomime as well, just so it's in his head, so he might say it on air and get himself cancelled. Thank you for those. They've really made me laugh. We're going to name the podcast and then it'll be the on-air appraisals. Right then, I tell you, I've had a lovely morning. Thank you very much.
It's been fun, hasn't it?
I've had a lot of laughs. And I don't want this to be the kind of show where you listen and everybody's laughing and you're not. I hope people at home have laughed as well. If you've laughed half as much as we have this morning, I hope you've enjoyed it, and a lot of the reason we've laughed is your messages, so thank you for your unromantic Valentine's messages and your voice notes.
Some of you are going to have a terrible weekend and we're here for it.
Yeah, absolutely, it's what we do. We do need to make clear that if you couldn't be here for the full 3 hours and you want to hear the podcast of the links from today's show, then you can do that on the Rayo app or wherever you get your podcasts. That will have a title that relates to today's show. I've got a couple.
Right, yeah, I've got one I think I quite like.
My first one is just snarting. Which, you know.
I can't believe you've come up with a word for it.
I would be amazed if that's not already an existing term.
I bet it is. That'll be on Urban Dictionary, won't it? Yeah.
My other one was the smell of a shepherd, which sounds sort of vaguely poetic.
Ben Shepherd, right, yes.
Ben Shepherd, yeah, there we
go. Got it. Well, I've got, do you want to hear my offering?
Yeah.
I've got wearing sock booties to an adult panto.
Oh, I miss sock booties.
Do you remember
booties?
The sock booties? That does feel like a long time ago.
Yeah, it does.
Has happened this morning.
Let's go for snorting and sock booties.
Snorting in sock booties.
Okay, well, that is a niche industry, I'm sure, but I'm sure, like everything else, it exists somewhere.
I reckon I can make some money out of that.
I've Googled it and it is on the Urban Dictionary. One sneezes and break winds at the same time.
That is precisely what happened.
There you go.
I snorted.
And then a forum with the title, Why Does Snorting Hurt? Which I'm going to read after the show. Oh, no. I'm so immature. Right, now before we leave, we all take the opportunity to look back on what's gone before and help each other to grow and learn and perform better. It's an evolutionary process, isn't it? And one day we will put out the perfect show, and that's when we stop. We say, do you know what, that's radio finished.
And I think we'll be going for a very long time.
We've got a hill to climb, haven't we? I'm not saying that we're climbing Everest for charity, but you know, we're a way off base camp, shall we say. And of course, it starts with some feedback for each other based on our performance. And for the listener, I think, you know, this week has been exceptional.
Absolutely.
Really good.
We've had some cracking stuff in this week.
Good voice notes, good stories, really good depressing Valentine's Day stories. Angela and Will, is there anything you'd like me to take on board from my performance today?
Well, I think you've walked the line today of decency, John. And I think you know to what I'm referring.
Because you're mine. I walked the line.
Oh, but back to Johnny Cash again.
Double Johnny Cash.
But you've kept just about on the right side, wouldn't you say, Will? I mean, you're the producer, Will. What do you think? Have you got a three-word summary for this week's show? Oh, no, it's four words last week, wasn't it?
It was.
A brand new low, wasn't it? Or an even lower low,
I believe. An even lower low last week.
That's right. And there was sitcom jokes off the back of it, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's right.
I'd probably go for a new low for me this week.
Personal low this week. Don't beat
yourself. It's interesting. So you're not happy with your performance after trying to get us both cancelled by slipping some smut into the document that you prepared for today's show. Well, I was actually going to be very generous to you this week, and I was going to say I liked the energy that you brought. Beyond cynicism, the nastiness and vitriol of your comment about a young ice skater, I felt like I saw the real you for a second this week.
Well, he had an edge to him this week, Will, didn't he? Because there was the whole helicopter finger and everything that happened this week. So
I feel like, in a vampire film when just the eyes flash red just for a second. That's what I saw this week. And I, for one, liked it. I liked you putting in a news that wasn't news story that was purely in there so that I could be mean about another comedian. I really enjoyed that, although I didn't take the bait.
We didn't take that one in the end.
And I've got to say, given that in just a few hours you will be producing Matt Fawn on Rock and Roll Football, you ordering the depressing Valentine's Days in order with the most depressing being going to see Matt Fawn live this evening. I just think, actually, Will, you've had a wonderful show. And I hope you carry that forward.
Will's really started to match your energy, John. I like it.
Yeah, Angela as well. It's just praise for you this week for having bravery to confess to trumping on the train on the way in this morning. You've found my level. You've exploited that level, and you deserve only praise for that.
Thanks, mate.
And if you're wondering why the forum says it sometimes hurts when you do snart, it's because apparently, according to one commenter, that performs a hard reset on your brain. Oh. So it's a bit like Control Alt Delete for a computer. The only appraisal we need to give Angela, at the start, you said you'd had a bad week, you were feeling a bit under the weather, you arrived at a 6 out of 10. The appraisal for me is, have I made you feel better? How do you feel out of 10 at the end of today's show?
I am 8.5 now. Oh. So well done. This show is therapy.
This show is a 2.5 out of 10 improvement in your circumstances. And I will absolutely take that. It's been an absolute pleasure this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining in. Thank you to you, Angela and Will.
Thank you.
We'll see you back here again next week, 8 a.m. Saturday morning. Bye.
John Richardson.
And the John Richardson Show.
Anyway, the pantomime was... You want to say what the name of the pantomime
was? Am I going to say the actual name?
Well, you say one word and I'll say the other and then we'll both get finished.
Okay, the adult pantomime was called Big...
Oh, I wasn't going to say that. I was just...
I meant to say the name of the pantomime.
I was going to say it was a version of Dick Whittington, but I think we've now basically given up.
I think what we've done is we've given everyone the jigsaw pieces and they can put it together how they wish.
Absolutely. That is a two-piece jigsaw that you can put together however you like. Anyway.
Oh, I've lost my mind.
We're alive, we survive, and it's up with Absolute Radio. So thank you kindly for listening to this week's podcast and downloading.
What a fun morning we've had.
There'll be another one next week.
We hope.
Yeah, and I tell you what I'd like, just a gap in the cloud. It doesn't have to complete, just a gap in it, just for 20 minutes, just to know that something lies. It really feels like, there's a Stephen King book called Under the Dome, where a dome gets dropped on a whole town, and it feels like the UK has just been put under
you
a dome and we haven't noticed.
You need to move to the seaside, John. I think we get more sun than you do.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, then.
Come and move to the seaside.
All right, I've got stuff to do. I'll join you next week, mid-move.
We're coming live from an ice rink next week, aren't we? That's the plan, isn't it, Will?
From an ice rink, absolutely.
I would love that so much.
Angela Barnes performs an adult pantomime on ice next week. Absolutely made it up. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.